Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up at 10:15 is Law and Disorder. They remember Fidel Castro and bring us an update from Standing Rock. At 11 on stage and studio, D'May Roberts presents the documentary Talking with the Wind, The Mystery of Opal Whiteley. At 11:30, it's Art Focus. Joseph Gallivan interviews Robert Hoffman, the Vice President and CEO of the Portland chapter of the American Institute of Architects. And now, after these announcements, will be Air Cascadia with Chris Andre.
Hi, I'm John Shuck, host of The Beloved Community. This Friday, I speak with Larry Brilliant. He's a hippie doctor whose guru told him that smallpox was going to be eradicated and that this 60s radical was going to make it happen.
Because God is going to remove one form of suffering from humanity and lift the burden of this disease, smallpox, and it will be unmullen, eradicated.
Hear his story on The Beloved Community this Friday at 9 a.m. on KBOO.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, December 6th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, on the air, kbo.fm, on the web, and everywhere. Once again, I want to say thank you, if I haven't said already, in which case it wouldn't be once again, would it? But anyway, thanks to everyone. We had an absolutely spectacular three-day fundraising drive. All of you who became members, who renewed your membership, who just called in during Air Cascadia and all the other programs on KVOO and gave of themselves, of their treasure to keep this treasure alive and well. Thank you so much, everyone. And moving right along, today, we all know what's going on right now. Lows are really, really low for change, and the low 40s to high 30s in and around the greater Portland area. Partly sunny today, highs around 42 for tomorrow. Again, pretty much the same pattern, maybe a little bit more sun. And that's it for the weather. We're going to be speaking today with Ed Fallon of Bold, Iowa. Ed Fallon is also a radio programmer and out of Iowa, and his views are pragmatic and progressive, and he is no retreat, no surrender, no never back down type of a person. Iowa is not the sort of a place where people expect a great deal of activism to arise in, but we're seeing something very different. That's the stereotype. Easy to do that, to stereotype absolutely anybody and everyone for everything they do. So let's be careful when we think about Iowan farmers as being the strong, silent type. Maybe instead we could amend that and make it the strong and outspoken type. I believe we've got Ed on the line right now. I want to just very quickly rip through a couple of headlines that might be of interest to everyone there. We have right now, and it's time to call these people out and for what they actually are. And Pentagon spending. Many people in the armed services have said that the Pentagon spending is way, way over the top. And it rather looks like under a Trump regime, that it may go completely over the edge. The Pentagon is indeed the face, the public face of the military-industrial complex, and what lies beneath is a lot more complicated than that which is presented to the public. And we all know that Trump has no problem lying. I've said for years now that the genius of the Republican Party was that when they realized, the genius came to the fore when they realized that lying was not illegal. Now, it wouldn't stop them if it was illegal. And then some of the things that Trump has said actually are illegal. It is hate speech. And yet he says it anyway, and no one calls him out, and no one stops him. There's lots of grumbling, but nothing's ever done. That's it. Under a Trump regime, Pentagon spending, maybe you don't think about it every day, but it's going to be in your face every day for about 4 years now. So that said, moving right along, in Coos Bay, there's a lot going on. The Jordan Cove LNG, it is absolutely an absolute certainty that if Trump is, well, under Trump regime again, that this one and all other LNG projects are going to get the green light. Landowner complaints of violations of their rights, imminent domain notwithstanding, will be dismissed, because what's one voice if it doesn't have $1 billion behind it pushing it forward? And the Trump advisor has pushed more and more Clinton conspiracy theories. We're surrounded by them now. They are absurd. General Michael T. Flynn, who's a President-elect Donald Trump's choice for national security advisor, is pushing conspiracy theories about Hillary Clinton. Both he and his son have used social media to spread fake news stories. Get this. I mean, seriously, this is Trump's choice for national security advisor, and he's a conspiracy nut. And just this final note before we speak with Ed, by its name, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act would hardly seem odious, but what it actually is a bill which allows the alt-right to suppress any voices in support of Palestine on university campuses. This is a deadly bill. This is something that is should be everyone's worst nightmare, and it is an image of things to come, where we still may have free speech, but we've got plenty of laws to stop you from actually using your right to free speech. On that note, someone who's not afraid of free speech, swims in it, in fact, Ed Fallon of Iowa Bowl joins us this morning. We're so happy to welcome you back to the KBOO airwaves, and thanks for being with us today.
Hi, good to be here.
Yeah, so there's lots going on. In Iowa, though you don't get the headlines that Standing Rock does, a lot's been going on. There's a lot of people who have been outside in very cold weather, yourself included. So as far as farmers are concerned, what does this mean, this suspicious victory at Standing Rock? What does that mean for the people that you talk to?
Well, and I just got back from Standing Rock. I was there for a week. I arrived just in time for the first blizzard, and that was a three-day event. I see there's another one going on now. as cold as it gets in Iowa, they get it worse up there in North Dakota. But so I have great admiration for their perseverance. And, yes, the victory occurred just as I'm leaving the camp, and it was amazing to hear that. And it is a huge victory for Standing Rock, although – it's not in the bag. We don't know for sure what the Trump administration is going to do. Now Dakota Access is also talking as if they're going to continue to push ahead with construction. How it affects Iowa is an even bigger question. It's certainly a huge step forward. I compare it to scoring the go-ahead touchdown with just a little bit of time left in the game. You know, we've got the advantage now, and we have to keep pushing, but we're not quite sure how it's all going to turn out. We got to pretend that We got to act like this is still anybody's, you know, Dalton could be anything at all. So in Iowa, Yeah, we have the big thing here is the landowner's lawsuit. That's coming up on December 15th. These are the nine landowners, nine out of about 300 who were opposed to eminent domain, nine who have gone to the extreme measure of, you know, spending a bunch of money on legal fees and putting in lots of time and effort to take the case to court. That court hearing is on December 15th, and we're expecting a big crowd to stand in support with them, and also to make clear that this is about eminent domain and the right to have access to your property without a private company taking it over. But we're also concerned about water quality, about climate, about native rights and native land treaties. So it'll be a significant event. How the decision by the Corps affects it, I'm not quite sure. But again, we're very encouraged here, and we're going to just keep pushing as hard as we can and hope that the issues we're fighting on here receive the same kind of consideration from the federal government as the concerns that have been raised by our native allies.
It seems, too, that this may be a landmark case trial for people who have noted in recent years that eminent domain has been misused to an extraordinary degree by the private sector, in order to gain access to for virtually free to private lands, and despite the fact that the right purports to be the defender of the private citizen's ability to make a decent and then sometimes a preposterously decent living off their property. And yet eminent domain, which is supposed to be only invoked in the case of extraordinary public good, is only for the good of the private enterprise that has pushed the government. How does this work? And how does this case coming up on the 15th, how does this affect the whole architecture of eminent domain?
Well, it is a huge issue beyond the pipeline, because it all dates back to a significant national eminent domain case involving a family by the name of Kelo versus New London, Connecticut, in which the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against the landowner in favor of the corporation, and that spawned a whole chain reaction of legislative initiatives across the country where states were toughening their eminent domain laws, and Iowa was one of those states, and we thought it was pretty clear. The way the law was written, you could not use eminent domain for a private company. Yet the pipeline company has found, well, they basically created, with the help of money, money buying off our political establishment, they found a way to create a loophole that describes them as a public utility, even though they're not providing any services to anybody in our state or anywhere along the pipeline route.
A public utility. I cannot imagine any basis or standing. How could this possibly have standing in any court anywhere?
Well, we think we have a pretty strong case, so we're cautiously optimistic about how this is going to move forward. But, you know, again, you never can tell. And if the court does rule in our favor, and if it doesn't happen at the district court level, we will appeal, and it will go to the Supreme Court, the Iowa Supreme Court. And if they rule in our favor, the option, it's hard to know what the options are going to be. The court will make that determination. It could require the company to pull the pipe out of the ground. They could, at a minimum, require lots of compensation for damages and court costs and loss of yields of crops and soil damage. There's lots of possibilities in terms of how they might, you know, decide what would be the appropriate response. But we're a ways off from that. We'll see what happens in district court, but we're fully prepared to take it to the next level if needed.
I think, too, that the initial reaction from the Standing Rock camp and from Bold, Iowa, it was to celebrate a victory and then step cautiously away from the edge, because there's so much about this seems suspicious. It seems this is a holding pattern to get people to sort of calm down and leave. The moment that Trump is crowned imperial whatever, the imperial duty of America, that the engines will roar forward and the pipeline will go through. It seems in a certain sense a Pyrrhic victory.
I don't know. I've not met a single human being who's yet been able to predict what Donald Trump will do, dating back to when he first entered the, when he first decided to throw his hat in the presidential campaign, what, 3 cycles ago? I mean, this is not a new, he's not new to this, but he's new to success in it. But yet again, it's really hard to know what he's going to do. He's already backtracking on immigration and health care. That's a good thing because his proposals there were ridiculous. And he may backtrack on this. He also may not be able to do, this is not just an executive order by the president that he can immediately and simply reverse. This is an action by the Army Corps of Engineers moving forward in a certain direction with a big agency doing a big thing, an environmental impact statement. And I don't, you know, it's not clear as to how he can and how he will respond to that. So, you know, this is definitely a victory. Of course, I would say this is the biggest victory we've had yet.
Oh, without a doubt. We have to go at this point. I apologize. But I cannot thank you enough. Thanks so much for being with us today. It's great to talk to you. There's a lot more for us to talk about. This has been Air Cascadia for Tuesday, December 6, 2016. Engineering for us today, Judy Feistel, our AM News and Public Affairs Director, Derek Brooks. I'm Chris Andrew. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.